If you wish to turn somewhere, hang on, I've got to turn myself on. Wait a minute. If you wish to turn somewhere, you could turn to Hebrews chapter 13. We're just going to look at one verse there. But the message tonight is what's next? And I'm not sure whether it's a privilege to have the last message of the year or the first message of the year, but I've certainly been given the last message of the year. So what's next? And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So I have three things that I'd like to start with tonight. What does 2019, what's it going to bring for the Church of Jesus Christ? Not necessarily this church, but for all of the churches. What new thing is God going to do in 2019? What new thing is he going to do? What new doctrine can we expect from God in 2019? What new revelation can we expect from God in 2019? So can we expect a new thing? Can we expect a new doctrine? Can we expect a new revelation? Well, according to Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. If you let me read to you Ecclesiastes 1:9-10. It says, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath already been of old time, which was before us." So what's next? What's this new thing that's going to come? Well, I've got some sad news for you. There is nothing new under the sun. If you want to turn with me to the book of Micah, Micah chapter 6, I'm going to read you two verses from Micah chapter 6. Micah 6, 7-9. "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Verse 8 says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God?" So there's no new thing going to happen. There's no new message going to come down from God. We have it all now. It's all recorded. So what does Micah say God wants us to do in 2019, remembering that that book was written several thousand years ago? He doesn't want us to do a new thing. So we're not going to be inventing some new thing. We're going to stick to the tried and tested ways. Do things just as the Lord God said they should be done. So we're going to have a look a little bit at this pattern that Micah has given us. He says, but to do justly. What does that mean? Well, I've got it down here that this is an outward standard of living, to live a just life. So to do justly, it's an outward thing, to live a just life. And to love mercy, well, that's an inward thing. That's an inward standard of living. To live a life where we inwardly love God's mercy and live accordingly. And then to walk humbly with thy God. This is an upward standard in living, in constant communication with God. So I'm just going to spend a little bit more time looking at those three things. So just bear with me a little bit. He says, but to do justly. What does that mean? This is a way we treat our fellow human beings. The way we treat the saved. And we have a lot of those around here. The way we treat the unsaved. Well, there's more of them than there are of the saved. How we treat friends. How we treat strangers. How we treat relatives. So the outward way that we physically treat these people. And how should we do it? We should do it justly. We should do it kindly. We should do it pleasantly. So that's what I'm saying or suggesting to you, and I may not be correct, but I'll stand corrected if that needs to be. But that's what I think Micah is trying to say to us, that God wants us to live a life that's justified or just, treating everybody kindly, treating everybody pleasantly. Doesn't mean you have to agree with them, doesn't mean we have to bow down to what they say or think, but being pleasant and kind and just. Then to love mercy. This was the inward thing. This is where we trust God inwardly. Not putting on a brave bravado or an exterior and then hating God on the inside or blaming God on the inside. You know, yes, everything's fine. Thank you very much. Forget my tooth. It's going to be fixed, by the way. Probably another 3 months. But anyway. You know, that grin, that smile, that bravado, but on the inside, it's all God's fault. He did it. He allowed it to happen. You know, this we need to love mercy. We need a genuine inward appreciation of God's mercy. God is a very merciful God. Everyone in this room that's saved is saved by the mercy of God. It's also appreciating God's mercy when someone else is rewarded by God. I think we've all had that situation where somebody is blessed and we think, you know, oh, it's really lovely, thank you, I'm glad God blessed you, why didn't he bless me? You know, it's having that inward love of mercy by saying, look, that's terrific, I'm really pleased that that's happened to you, what a blessing, and I'm going to take home some blessing just because you've been blessed, and not having that inward rebellion that we sometimes have. And I'm sure we're all human, so I'm sure we've all had it. Now, to walk humbly with thy God, this talks to me about a regular communication with God. Not just Christmas and Easter, for those of you who know the C of E, I'm a C of E. Yeah, I go to church Christmas and Easter. If you haven't heard that, just ignore it, it'll go away. Not just a Sunday Christian. You know, I'll turn up, I'll put my money in the offering, I'll sing the hymns, but I just want to get out of here. And I just want to do my own thing, and then I'll come back on Sunday because that's the right thing to do. Not just a couple of times a week communicating with God. But daily, multiple daily times is what God wants or prefers. God wants to be in constant communication with us, and that's not an easy thing to do. I'm sure even the deacons and the pastor would say they struggle constantly communicating with God. I certainly do. In 2019, which is in 2 days' time, We might all need to practice communicating with God multiple times just to get used to the experience. It also means having a reverential time with the Lord, remembering who it is. It's said to walk humbly with my God. And so we need to have this reverence, this not a fear, although that can be a good thing. I was certainly scared into getting to heaven because I didn't want to go to hell. That didn't seem like a really good place to go. And so there was definitely that fear. But just that reverential communicating with God on a regular basis. What am I going to do, Peter Roberts, in 2019 that I wasn't doing in 2018? Well, one thing that's come to my memory is I've neglected my scripture memory over probably the last 10, even 12 years. I've probably got 150 verse cards sitting there with verses that I memorized many years ago in the past. And so I've set my goal in 2019 to reassemble the cards, get them in the correct order, because every time they flip out, they all get mixed up. But to assemble them in the correct order and to review them every week. And that'll enable the Holy Spirit to minister through those verses and communicate with me. So that's a little thing that I want to do. If you want to check up on me, feel free to do so. But God is always the same. He doesn't change. He expects the same of us as he's always expected. And you know, that's an exciting thing. God doesn't change. God doesn't change his mind. His moods don't swing. Whatever he said in the past still applies now and will apply into the future. The Bible, God's word, has not changed. Now, we know that it's been edited and revised, and everyone has their own translation. I get a little shock every now and again when I Google a verse and don't put KJV in it, and I end up with about 80 different Bible versions that I can choose from. I very quickly write in KJV and pin it down to just one. But there are so many. But God's word hasn't changed. Men have changed. Mankind will continue to change, lowering his or her standards. In fact, they'll lower them as soon as they can. If we look back on 2018, we would be perhaps shocked at some of the changes that have occurred just in Australia. Just think about it. In 2018, we've had probably more changes than we've had maybe in the 10 years before that. We are going downhill, and we're going downhill fast. But this is the end times. We've had the Mackays, my apologies for whichever way it goes. They've been here for a long time. Someone said 18 months this morning. And we got used to having them around. In fact, when you walked in this morning, Josh, I looked at the back of your head and I thought, I know who that is. No, I thought, no, he's in Papua New Guinea. He can't be here. Because we've had them around so long. We're so used to having them here. And, you know, when they were leaving, I sort of felt sorry for them. They're going. They're going back to Papua New Guinea. And then I thought, that's where God sent them. That's where God wants them to be. That's where God has called them to go to. So it's exciting that they're going back. They're going back to the same yesterday and today and forever. Not that they'll be there forever. So we were blessed to have them spend so much time with us. But they've gone back to do that thing that God called them to. Now we're going to see them again in 3 years. How long will 3 years be? Think of the last 3 years. It'll almost be... Well, Robert and Anna, you've been married 3 years. I can remember your wedding day. Yeah, so it won't be long and they'll be back and we'll be able to be blessed again. But we need to be praying for them. we need to be in, communicating with them. Send a lawnmower up or something to get that airstrip mowed. Now, we don't think about things like that, but that's part of, I guess, living as a missionary. You never quite know what's going to be tomorrow. So what's next? This church will continue to do what it's done for the past years. We'll preach the good news, the gospel, as detailed in 1 Corinthians 15. If you'd like to turn, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read through 8 verses. Now, I've heard the word gospel shared by many people. Oh, yes, we're preaching the gospel. We're sharing the gospel. We're doing the gospel. But what is the gospel? What's the gospel that we in this church support? Well, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." So what's this gospel that we're encouraged to preach? Well, I've put it this way. At Christmas, we celebrate that Jesus was born to die. At Easter, we recognize his death for our sins and his resurrection to heaven, where he is preparing a place for us, and he will return to collect believers and take them to be with him, to be in heaven with himself. So that's the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus was born, that he died, that he rose, and he's coming again. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's what Paul preached to the Corinthians. That's what they believed. That's what they received. That's what they stood upon. And that's what we in this church also believe. We'll continue to run ministries in this church in 2019 that will give those who attend opportunity to hear this gospel or the gospel and be saved and or grow in God's word. So over the next year, 2019, the church's activities will be there. Why will they be there? So people can hear the gospel, so people can be ministered to by God's word, so that they can grow. As a church, sharing the good news will be paramount. This church, it will be paramount. We will regularly challenge people to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord. And I'm sure you can remember this year, lots of people, lots of preachers, sharing and encouraging people to be saved. In fact, when we had the baptisms here just a few weeks ago, the three people all said that they were challenged and they went to their parents and their parents were able to lead them to the Lord. What a blessing. That's so exciting to know that during the church life, people were challenged and they went to people that would help them. Well, we have a Sunday school here. I've got here from young children to the oldest adult. All are catered for. And that's really exciting. If somebody walked in that door and said, I need to put my child or myself in Sunday school, we don't have to organise anything. It's all there. You know, the Sunday school program is designed to cover all biblical principles. Since Robin's been teaching, I've sort of looked around at some of the books, and I can see that there's a systematic way. If you come in at whatever the youngest age is and you leave at the oldest age, you've pretty well covered all of the biblical doctrines that there are. And if you paid attention, you would know exactly what God said in His Word. That's exciting to me. Apart from the Sunday services and apart from prayer meeting, I think that Sunday school is the most valuable teaching session a church has to offer. And those who teach are really privileged. They're in a privileged position to influence the hearts and minds of the children of the church. If you're a teacher, or if you wanted an opportunity to train and learn to serve in the local church, then Sunday school is an excellent place to start. And we have a really good Sunday school. Well, next thing I've got down here is youth work. Primary, secondary, young adults are all catered for in these ministries, and we give an opportunity for the community to come in. And there's an opportunity there for children, young adults to come in and to hear the gospel. I know that in One Way Club, the gospel is regularly preached. And I'm sure that the teachers and those people in their quiet sessions are sharing the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think you could come here for 6 weeks and go away and say, I have no idea what they were talking about. That's not going to happen. But the one of the wonderful things about youth work is that there's an opportunity to be trained, an opportunity to be a blessing to the Lord and to serve God in a very simple way. And that door is open for those people who are called into it. You know, we have specialist groups. We have mums and mins. We have the Sunday creche. And these are to provide the needs covered by that specific group. And that's a blessing. We have other serving opportunities. Now, this morning, we had two people. We had someone on the door. We had people taking up the offering and praying. We had people publicly praying. We have people letterboxing. People leading services. People cleaning the church. People bringing food when it's appropriate. Every one of those is a serving opportunity in God's church. Now, I don't know whether you've thought about it, but when you've been scrubbing the toilet out there, you're serving the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? When you're vacuuming the carpet, you're serving the Lord. And the attitude, you know, oh, I've got to get this done. I'll get it done as quickly as I can and get out of here. No. It's an opportunity to say, I'm serving the Lord. I want to do this to the best of my ability. Now, it was interesting. I put music ministry down and we didn't have any tonight. We only had a pianist. Oh. We have a great music ministry here. We have a great opportunity. We have a great standard. The playing and the singing are first class. Do you want to say amen? It's true, isn't it? We have first-class musicians. We have first-class singers. What a blessing. We're truly blessed to have godly standard that we have. And it's greatly encouraging to find people of varying ages sharing their responsibility. And I love the children's choir. Why do I love the children's choir? Because they're going to grow and come through the church, and they're going to become a blessing to those who hear them. I look forward to coming to church on a Sunday just to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to my heart through the music in the service. And if you find that that doesn't happen to you, just stop next Sunday and just listen. And just let the Spirit of God minister to you. Sing the words, hum the words. Even if you have to hum the first verse 3 or 4 times, it's all right. You know, we have young musicians who are training and studying and practicing. And you know, one day they'll be playing up here and ministering to us. So if you're a young 6 or 7 or 8 year old and you're banging away on the piano or playing a trumpet or whatever it is, you know, in 5 or 6 years' time, you could be up here at prayer meeting leading the singing. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. And we have this ministry here. Well, there's preaching opportunities. Again, any man in the church could have the opportunity to preach or share or give a testimony in the church service or in the prayer meeting or at other youth ministries or other places within the church. One thing that's a blessing going to One Way Club is to look at the list and see who's giving the message. And AR doesn't appear every week. There are other young people who do it. And from what I don't hear them because I'm over with the games, but from what I can gather, they are a blessing to those who hear them. We also have outside church opportunities as believers. We have the opportunity to minister to people outside the church. We can invite people over to our homes. We can supply meals or transport or cards or gifts or phone calls or flowers. Either within or without of the church. There's a ministry there for every single person. In 2019, we have an incredible opportunities to minister within and without the church. And we all should consider what area of service the Lord is calling us to do. I'll just repeat that. We should all be considering what area of service the Lord wants us to be involved in. And you don't have to advertise it. It can be done secretly. I love the table out there where you can put something on with someone's name and they have no idea who gave it to them. What a blessing that is. What an opportunity. Well, what about new things? Are there any new things? God does not change, but maybe we need to change. Maybe we need to do some of the old things that God wants us to do as new things to us. I'm not a believer in New Year's resolutions, but the beginning of a new year is a good time to start to put into practice some of those things that God has put on your heart to do. And that's why, with my scripture memory, I'm going to start that, probably not tomorrow, but I would say on Tuesday, and get that going because it's a new year. This is a good opportunity. But what does God want me to do this year? I've got some suggestions. To be at as many services as I can reasonably attend. You know, I say to people, why can't you do something on Sunday? Well, I go to Sunday school and then I go to church. And then I go to church. You go to church 3 times on Sunday? Well, it's only 7 days in the week, and we can't have church 3 days a week. So if you have it 3 sessions on one day, we can save some time. But how much can we learn? How much can we learn? I mean, I'm 71 now, and I still haven't learned the Bible. I still don't know it enough. I'll need another 30 years at least. How many days is that? You know, because there's so much to learn. There's so much to put into practice. And we need to be at as many services as we can. Attend prayer meeting as regularly as is reasonably possible. You know, prayer meeting sometimes you could put everyone on one side on half the room. And I understand that some people are not in a position to come. But it's really good to be at prayer meeting. Even if you only pray for 3 minutes, it's good to be here. To be available to be at Sunday school. Okay, now, get myself into a bit of trouble here, but you know, it's just as easy to get here at 9:30 as it is to get here at 11. And you can get that session in adult Sunday school, and just have a blessing to start the day. If I'm in a ministry, prepare and put my best into every session. Oh, it's Friday. Oh, it's today. Oh, it's tonight. Oh, I haven't done anything. Okay? Put your best into every session. Be praying for the children. Have your sessions ready. Ask Andrew, is there something you can do? Or whoever your leader is. If I'm a younger person, what can I learn in 2019 to prepare me for ministry over the next few years? Can I listen in Sunday school? Can I be there listening at prayer meeting, listening to the services, listening to the messages that are given, getting myself ready so that I can do the ministering in the years to come? If I'm a musician, do I practice? Do I get myself to church standard so that I can be available to play if I'm asked? What an opportunity we have. Whatever we do, we need to do it to the best of our ability. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, "It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." God has deliberately gone out of his way to make sure that we're not consumed, that the enemy of souls can't get to us. But his compassions are new every morning. Every morning with God is a new morning. It's a new start. We need to be aware of that. Proverbs 3:5-6, I'm sure we could say it in unison. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I think Robert was sharing that God's given him a job. He's not the only one that God has given a job. He's not the only one that God has given a house or a car or a wife or children. God, and I have no idea how he does it. I mean, computers are really, really good to show us how multiple tasking can happen. But God can multiple task in everyone's life, in every minute of the day, and he is more concerned about your job and your family and your car than we are. Just think about that. The God who created us is more concerned about us than we are. That's an astounding thought. Well, conclusion. To be a willing participant in God's 2019 program. What's next? Well, I've got a series of dots here. Be available. If you're not available, then God can't use you. Be content. That's a tough one, isn't it? Be content. Whatever lot God has given you, tell him you're content with it. Be always looking for something to learn. That's a good thing for 2019. I'm going to church this morning. Pastor's preaching, what can I learn? And so I keep my mind open. Lord, what do you want to tell me this morning? You know, I read in the books of the Bible, and I think, what would it have been like to be there when that book arrived, that parchment arrived? Paul or Peter or John or someone has sent this letter, and we're going to read it, and we're going to find out what the great apostle has to say. And it's opened up, and they start to read it, and we're listening to every. Is that what we do when we open the scriptures? Do we think, this is God's love letter to me? What can I learn from it this morning? Now, I have to say, I am guilty of that one. Let the Holy Spirit be our comforter and guide in 2019. Look to be a blessing to someone. And that doesn't mean once. Set some spiritual objectives. Now, they're not New Year's resolutions, but some spiritual objectives. What would I like to spiritually achieve in 2019? When you're hearing God's word, ask yourself, what does the Lord want me to learn from this session? What does God want me to do, practice from this session? And when I have an opportunity to minister, do it heartily as unto the Lord. I have one more verse to share, and it comes from Isaiah 54:2. It says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. God wants to do a work in every single heart of every single person in this place, and he wants to stretch the curtains of our tents, and he wants us to have to lengthen those cords and strengthen the stakes, because the Spirit of God is at work. So what's next? Let the Lord stretch you in 2019. Thank you.